Thank you, Heather Fannin, Kayla Stafford, Jordan Whitaker, for being on the show with me today. I really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And for all our listeners out there, we'll see you on Friday. Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 76 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Naya Ndweza.
That helps students get their name and the hard work that they do academically out there.
Moorhead State Student Government Association is partnering with the Office of Academic Affairs.
Individuals raising grandchildren were honored in Louisville yesterday.
The FDA has approved a generic nasal spray for opioid overdoses.
A police chase in Bath County ends with one person dead.
Police have arrested three people in a human trafficking case.
In sports, we'll take a look at 16th regional baseball and softball action tonight.
But Luke has a stock report.
A chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low around 58. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
A partnership between Moorhead State University's Student Government Association and the Office of Academic Affairs will help provide assistance to students for academic travel. In alignment with the 2018-19 SGA Strategic Plan, the Caudill College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences, College of Education, College of Science, and the Elmer R. Smith College of Business and Technology will assist student organizations in traveling. Brandon Breyer is the president of the Student Government Association. He says the partnership puts students first.
The reason that we promoted this was because going through budget cuts, oftentimes traveling and travel budgets are the first ones to be slashed. And we didn't want students to be negatively impacted by that. So we have a lot of students that go and travel to different conferences. I know that the radiology program just took about 35 students, and that's just from one program in one college.
The application process is currently underway. To apply, visit www.moorheadstate.edu/SGA.
Eastern Kentucky University President Michael Benson is asking the governor and lawmakers to make a decision on vetoed House Bill 358. Officials say Governor Matt Bevin is against the bill because it violates the state's moral and legal obligations to its retirees. Senator Morgan McGarvey appeared on a KET panel saying he agrees with Governor Bevin.
It was going to kick retirees out of the system who've already paid in all that they can.
President Benson wrote an editorial saying EKU would have to pay 85% of employees' salaries to the state system when the new rates for pension obligations take effect.
Grandparents raising their grandchildren were recognized in Louisville yesterday at the annual AARP Kentucky Grandparent of the Year ceremony. The event is hosted by the Kentucky Retired Teachers Association. According to data from the U.S. Census Bureau, Kentucky has the highest rate in the nation, with more than 95,000 children being cared for by relatives. Peggy Tiller and her husband are raising their 4-year-old grandson. Tiller said for her, the lack of child care options available to grandparents means losing social interaction and missing out on other life activities.
As a grandparent, you don't have a lot of the support that you would have if you were a young parent. You know, you have something, event you need to go to, you can ask your parents to take care of the child. You know, we really don't have anyone to assist us with my grandson.
In 2018, the Trump administration passed the Supporting Grandparents Raising Grandchildren Act, a law that creates a new federal advisory council tasked with developing resources to help grandparent caregivers.
The U.S. Supreme Court is debating on adding a question about citizenship to the 2020 census. Supporters say the question will help receive more data and help enforce the Voting Rights Act. Executive Director of Community Refugee and Immigration Services in Columbus, Angela Plummer, worries the information would be shared with other agencies working on reducing the number of refugees and immigrants.
even folks who are lawfully here may come from places where there's distrust in the government, or you may have mixed status households. So people are not in this current climate inclined to answer a question if somebody knocks on their door asking if they're a U.S. citizen.
The Census Bureau says the populations deemed hard to count include low-income houses, immigrants, and families of color.
The FDA has approved a generic nasal spray to reverse opioid overdoses. WUKY's Josh James has more.
The generic naloxone spray is the first of its kind and does not require training to use. Those administering the product need only spray it into one nostril of an adult or child who is overdosing while the person is lying on his or her back. The release of the product is being hailed as yet another step toward combating the state's opioid addiction crisis. Deaths from overdoses are continuing their upward trend, with the number of cases involving heroin declining while those involving the powerful synthetic opioid fentanyl are on the upswing. More than 47,600 Americans died of opioid overdoses in 2017. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Ginny's Embroidery Unlimited, 143 East Main Street in Moorhead. Embroidery Unlimited specializes in screen printing, embroidery, heat press, quilts, and blankets, wedding, anniversary, and baby gifts, custom-designed t-shirts, pullovers, hoodies, hats, and bags for athletic teams, Greek organizations, clubs, and businesses. Open at 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Embroidery Unlimited can be reached at 784-7000 and Facebook under Ginny's Embroidery Unlimited.
A police chase ended in a shooting Tuesday morning, leaving one man dead in Bath County. The altercation took place on Lyons Road between Owingsville and Mount Sterling. Sean Dingus lives near the scene. He tells WKYT he was making breakfast when the suspect and officers went by. Officials say the suspect attempted to flee on foot and an altercation took place. A deputy fired her weapon, and the suspect was pronounced dead at the scene. Kentucky State Police's critical incident team is investigating the case. The names of the suspect and the deputy have not been released.
A teenager is facing charges after being accused of threatening to shoot students at Lynn Camp High School in Knox County. Police tell WLEX 18 a concerned parent tipped them off about the alleged threats. Authorities say that during an interview, the teenager acknowledged making threats to harm multiple fellow students. The teen was arrested and charged with terroristic threatening. That teenager's name has not been released.
A Johnson County family is hoping for answers after a body was found at the Paintsville golf course. 29-year-old Herbert Blevins was found in the pond on the Paintsville golf course Saturday. Blevins' family described him as a family man, often checking in with his mother and siblings throughout the day. Jennifer Blevins is his older sister. She tells WIMT, Blevins loved his family very much.
My little girl, that was his pride and joy right here. He will talk the world over.
Blevins' funeral took place at the Preston Funeral Home in Paintsville on Wednesday.
A corrections officer is behind bars after being arrested for having sex with an inmate. 34-year-old Tanya Riesinger worked as a correctional officer in the Kentucky Correctional Psychiatric Center in LaGrange. She's being charged with one count of rape. Wave News reports Riesinger allegedly admitted to Kentucky State Police that she had sex with one of two inmates she was supervising. Riesinger's arrest report states she had gotten a second mobile phone so she and the inmate could keep in touch. She's currently lodged in the Oldham County Detention Center. She's set to be arraigned on April 29th.
A Fayette County grand jury has indicted a man on charges for a decades-old rape after testing on a backlogged sexual assault kit. WMKY's Grant Johnson has the story.
Fayette County resident Donald Berland was indicted on charges of first-degree rape and first-degree burglary in a case dating back to September 26, 1981. Fayette Commonwealth's attorney, Lou Ann Redcorn, tells LEX18 the sexual assault kit DNA results that uncover the 38-year-old crime were funded through a grant program by the New York District Attorney's Office. Redcorn says Berlin is currently being held in the Federal Correctional Institute in Ashland and faces 10 to 20 years in prison on each charge. An arraignment date has not been set yet. For WMKY News, I'm Grant Johnson.
Police have arrested three people in a human trafficking case in the Commonwealth. WKYT reports 27-year-old Carl Hickman, 29-year-old Tiffany Cheek, and 35-year-old Michael Nason have been arrested. Knox County deputies responded to a report of a missing 16-year-old girl on Saturday night. She was later found by Cincinnati police in the back of a U-Haul truck. The three adults were with the girl. Cheek allegedly showed the girl falsified documents, telling her that Cheek was now her legal guardian. The girl had to come with them in the back of the U-Haul truck. The teenager also alleges that Nason had engaged in sexual activity with her. Deputy Carl Firth is with the Knox County Sheriff's Department. He says she was thankful when police finally arrived.
That's something we always take serious. 90% of the time, they usually ran off with friends or family somewhere. This one here was a little different.
The three adults are charged with unlawful transaction with a minor, custodial interference, kidnapping a minor, human trafficking, unlawful imprisonment, and trafficking in a controlled substance. Nason faces additional charge of third-degree rape.
Two Kentucky daycare workers have been charged over an online video that shows one of them scaring a toddler with a doll. Wendy's Wonderland worker, Tasha Cox, is accused of filming Diana Willett waving a doll at a 2-year-old girl who has a well-known fear of dolls and small animals. The video was shared on Facebook and shows the girl hiding under a table, crying and shoving the doll away as the singing caregiver waves it close. Wayne County Sheriff's deputies say they learned of the allegations on Friday. Willett was arrested Monday and charged with criminal child abuse. Cox was arrested and charged with failure to report the abuse. It's unclear if they have lawyers. Cox and Willett are being housed in the Wayne County Detention Center.
A Winchester mother and her boyfriend have been arrested on child abuse charges. The Winchester Sun reports 23-year-old Caitlin Combs and 28-year-old John Goodwin are charged with first-degree criminal abuse after being interviewed by Winchester police. Law enforcement were contacted by officials with UK Medical Center after Combs' 7-year-old daughter was taken there for treatment. The arrest citation states that Combs admitted to dragging the child across a carpeted area after becoming frustrated with her. She allegedly told Goodwin about the incident the same day, and Goodwin helped treat the child's injuries, then left her in Combs' care. The two are being held in the Clark County Detention Center.
Two people are behind bars after a domestic dispute in Martin County. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has more.
A couple was arrested Monday night after a state trooper discovered illegal drugs while helping search for a lost tooth. EKB-TV reports troopers were dispatched to a home in the Pilgrim community. 36-year-old Laura Davis and 41-year-old Christopher Maynard were arguing when police arrived. Davis agreed to leave the residence, however, she was struggling to find a lost tooth. Troopers offered assistance and, while searching for the tooth under a chair, found cash and several different prescription narcotics. Davis and Maynard were arrested and are lodged in Big Sandy Detention Center. No bond has been set. The tooth was never found. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
A Pike County man pleaded guilty last week to stealing over $115,000 from the Social Security Administration. 52-year-old William Cummings allegedly did not report his father's death and continued to collect his Social Security checks for nearly a decade. The Lexington Herald-Leader reports Cummings accessed his father's online account to change the direct deposit information. He also used a debit card authorized through a federal agency. Cummins is expected to make restitution as part of his plea bargain. He's currently lodged in the Pike County Detention Center and awaiting sentencing in August. No bond has been set.
Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight a 60% chance with a low around 59. Thursday, a 60% chance of precipitation, mostly cloudy with a high near 73. Thursday night, showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm with a low around 55. Friday, showers likely with a high near 67. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 41. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 66. Taking a look at your region's temperatures, in Lexington, it's 77. In Mount Sterling, it's 76. In Inez, it's 78. In Grayson, it's 75. In Ashland, it's 73. In Maysville and Flemingsburg, it's 72. And here in Moorhead, it's 76 degrees.
On our feature segment today, Moorhead State University hosts a Writer's Day Out event for area teens each semester. Today, we'll hear from Maria Lancel, Hallie Adams, and Kirsten Strange.
Hello, my name is Maria Lancel. I'm a senior at Bath County High School, and my piece is called Beautiful Spain. Beauty serene, water clear as diamonds, my heart stays though I am away. Skies like the heavens, music brings me home. Monuments of passion, my heart goes home. Churches that hold music, the beauty fills my thoughts. Sandy beaches filled with love, my heart goes home. The dances, tales of love, beauty in each step, my heart stays though I'm away.
My name is Hallie Adams. I am a sophomore at Fleming County High School, and this is my piece called Where's My Birthday Card? Have a seat, Dora, my 85-year-old grandfather calls me into his dusky, musky living room. I spot him sitting in his usual spot, sitting in his worn-down, checkerboard-printed recliner. His thin hands clutched a cigar as his large gray brows almost cover his eyes. I walk slowly and sit on the cream-colored chair right in front of him. Once sat down, I can spot dust flying around, mixing with the cigar smoke. Well? Well, what? I question slowly. Why haven't you wrote me a birthday card yet? Why haven't you written me a birthday card yet? My grandfather shifts his position so he could stare out the filthy window. I did write you. Listen here, my grandfather stops me by putting out the butt of his cigar. You need to write things down instead of using that fancy brick. He gestures to my phone, because someday you may not have that fancy brick in your life and you need to learn how to write things down to remember them. I raised a brow confused. I looked over into the kitchen to spot the card. I picked it up and placed it upon the arm of his chair. He places the glasses around his neck on his face and examines the item. Confused, he lifts the item up to his face and reads it with no emotion. Then he finishes, "Well, you still need to write stuff down."
Hi, my name is Kirsten Strange. I'm a junior at Bath County High School. The title of my poem is called Playtime. Twisting, turning, screaming, singing, laughing, crying, playing, hurting. Twist or turn, singing is screaming, laughing or crying, playing is hurting. Where did he go? Where is she? Why are you singing? Why is he laughing? Oh, wait, you're screaming. He's crying. What's wrong? Why are you lying there? Why are you being still? Oh, wait. Y'all have moved on. Playtime is over.
That's students from the Writer's Day Out event here at Moorhead State University. It's 448 and 76 degrees here on the beautiful campus of dear old MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Naya Andweza, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Nacogdoches Miller has sports after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
Taking a look at 16th regional baseball and softball action tonight at WMKY Sports, I'm Nacogdoches Miller. In 16th regional softball action tonight, Bath County hosts Fleming at 5:30. The Lady Cats stand at 15-7 on the season, coming off a 15-5 Mercy win at Model last night. The Panthers are 3-10 on the season. Lewis County hosts Greenup at 5:30. The Lady Lions are 16-5 on the season, holding the top seat in the 16th region, according to the Kentucky High School Athletic Association. Greenup stands at 6-9 on the season, but they took down Raceland at home last night 2-1. In baseball action tonight, Elliott County hosts Morgan at 5:30 p.m. The 4-12 Lions are looking to break a three-game loss streak with a win over the 4-18 Cougars. Bath County hosts Mason County at 6 p.m. The Lions are 10-11 on the season, coming off a two-game series loss to Round. The Royals stand at 7-8 on their season. And Fleming County travels to Brecken for a 6 p.m. matchup. The Panthers are 3-13 on their season, while the Polar Bears stand at 11-5. We'll have scores from tonight's games tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Round County softball team hits the practice field this afternoon. The 14-6 Vikings are gearing up for tomorrow night's matchup with Raceland. The team is coming off an 8-2 victory over Johnson Central last night. Head coach Larry Sloan says it's important to play teams outside the 16th region.
The 15th plays the 16th in the semi-state this year, so it's always good to play. We played Pikeville, we played Lawrence later, and we played Johnson Central. So if we did win the region, we will play one of those teams probably coming out of there. So we need to know a little bit about them.
Game time tomorrow in Raceland is set for 6 p.m. Raceland is 14-5 on the season and projected to win the 16th region. With the Morehead State University baseball season coming to a close, the team is still continuing to adapt. The Eagles picked up their most recent win yesterday at Marshall 5-4. When the team has struggled this season, it's typically been on the road, and head coach Mike McGuire says his guys are doing their best to change that.
And we've spent a lot of time in the last 2 weeks and going to continue, you know, kind of transform a little bit who we are on the road and being able to do some of the little things and play. And I think you saw that. I mean, we had at least two bunt singles today. Had a couple, had a sack as well. Had a couple other bunt singles. That Brody Shoup was at 2 inches from an RBI single, you know, on a drag today. And we got to be able to do that stuff. And I'm proud of our guys.
MSU plays again Friday when they head to Jacksonville State to begin a three-game series. First pitch is set for 7 o'clock. The season is wrapped up for the Morehead State University men's golf team. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has more.
Fashioning the program's best egregious team score since 1997, Morehead State men's golf concluded play at the Ohio Valley Golf Championships on Tuesday. As a team, the Eagles fashioned scores of 295, 285, and 291, finishing 8th at the event. Morehead State finished just 3 strokes shy of their 4th top 5 finish of the season as they fired the lowest 54-hole total at the OVC Championships since firing an 862 in 1997. Morehead State had 2 players shoot even par throughout the course of the tournament. Redshirt sophomore Ryan Gillum and sophomore Zach Viminitz tied for 16th at the event, both shooting an even par for the event. At the conclusion of the 3-day event, Jacksonville State walked away with the team title, concluding the event at 28 under par, while Jacksonville State golfer Jesus Montenegro claimed the individual crown, finishing 12 under par for the event. For WMKY Sports, I'm Keneally Roberts.
After winning the first game of the series, the Cincinnati Reds are back in action against the Braves this evening. Since he gave up an early lead, but rallied back to pick up the 7-6 victory over Atlanta last night. Manager David Bell tells Reds.com there were a couple of mishaps during the game, but he was happy with the performance overall, especially from pitcher Sony Gray.
You know, there were a couple plays there towards the end that doubled down the line and balls that maybe extended the inning, made him work a little bit harder than we wanted him to there. But you're exactly right. He pitched a great game up until that point, and he even battled after that. And, you know, in the end, you know, it wasn't easy, but we did a lot of things well enough to win that game.
Game 2 against the Braves is set for 6:40 this evening at Great American Ballpark. A likely Kentucky Derby favorite, Omaha Beach, is being treated for an injury leading up to the race on May 4th. About 2 months ago, Omaha Beck suffered a quarter crack in a hoof. Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela says the injury is like a broken fingernail near the cuticle.
But we patched that, and since that, he's won the Rebel and the Arkansas Derby. But it's now a little over 2 months old, that patch.
Mandela is seeking his first Kentucky Derby victory. Quarterback Gunnar Hoke says he will be leaving the University of Kentucky. WMKY's Wyatt Middleton has the story.
Hoke announced via Twitter that he would put his name in the NCAA transfer portal. Hoke played in 5 games for Kentucky this past season, completing 50% of his passes while throwing for 2 touchdowns and 1 interception. He lost the starting spot to Terry Wilson, who helped lead the Wildcats to the first 10-win season in more than 40 years. The quarterback thanked Coach Mark Stoops and the UK staff for their kind response to his decision. For WMKY Sports, I'm Wyatt Milton.
For WMKY Sports, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball will host Murray State for a series of 3 games next weekend, May 3rd through the 5th. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks slipped from record levels as Wall Street digested a mixed batch of corporate earnings, and the Dow Industrials at the close finished with a loss of 59.34 at 26,597.05. The S&P 500 dropped 6.43 at 2927.25, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 18.81 at 8102.02. And, of course, the S&P 500 and NASDAQ finished at record closing highs yesterday. Caterpillar shares were down 3%. Despite the company posting better-than-expected quarterly earnings, the industrial giant's CFO warned of a possible slowdown in its China business, overshadowing Caterpillar's strong report. AT&T fell more than 4% after posting first-quarter revenue numbers that disappointed investors. The company's revenue was actually dragged down mainly by weak sales in its Warner Media division. Domino's Pizza was up almost 5% on stronger-than-expected quarterly results, and also shares of eBay gained 5% on earnings that topped expectations. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.8%, and of course this reverses a very strong move upward, finishing at $65.75 a barrel. Gold was up 0.3% at $1,277.50 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were down just slightly, with the Stock 600 index down 0.1%. In Asia, most markets were down. The Nikkei was down 0.25%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Disney and McDonald's, while the worst performers were Chevron and Caterpillar. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Anadarko Petroleum and TE Connectivity, and the worst performers were Rollins and Robert Half International. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Kroger up 35 cents at $25.57, Community Trust Bank down 9 cents at $42.11, Marathon Petroleum down $1.57 at $59.49, CSX up 30 cents at $79.32, PPL Energy up 9 cents at $30.95, and Humana was up $2.34, finishing at $250.79. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Taking a look at some events coming up around the region, the annual MSU Art BFA exhibition will be on display through May the 8th in the Golden Yang Art Gallery inside the Claypool Young Art Building at MSU. An opening reception will be held tomorrow from 5 to 7 p.m. Tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. Admission is free and the public is invited.
Bass player and vocalist Andy Brown will perform on stage at Coffee Tree Books, 159 East Main Street in Moorhead, from 6 to 7 p.m. on Friday, April 26th. Admission is free and the community is invited.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Haley Stidham, Wyatt Melton, Keneally Roberts, Cody Robinson, Tandy Wallingford, Grant Johnson, Cassidy Stearman, Nacogdoches Miller, Jack Cottle, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lions Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from local teens during the Morehead State University Writers Day Out. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Naya Andueza and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.